Everybody representing Seaborg, I'm over here.
Now I'm going to Google the periodic table so I could have fun with this.
Xenon, bitches. Some xenon.
I feel like my... Oh, there it is. This is kind of there.
Are we there?
Actinides.
That's what you get when you Google Z or X words.
Yep.
For a show.
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned four specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called Stab.
Hey guys, welcome to Stab. Welcome. Come on in. Come on in through the door. It's free. Come on in.
Everybody move in. Fill in the seats.
We just saw two people. Come on in, you there. Peeping Tom and friend.
Can you get people to take their seats?
Pre-show here. Oh, come on in. It's Homeless Guy Day. Come on in.
Come on in. We're telling jokes.
Come on in, Gilligan. Welcome.
That boxcar will wait.
Come on in. Sorry we don't serve sardines. Hey, guys. Let's play Stab. Let's meet our contestants really quick. My name is John Ross. You could reach me at 916 Ben Rice.
It's true.
Ben Rice, he's here. He is he's heir to the mustache fortune. He invented mustaches. Ben Rice.
Yes.
Welcome.
Family, long time ago.
You have a Twitter?
I do.
All right, good. All right, next we have Jordan Gannon in the middle.
Hello.
He is heir to the Jordache jeans fortune.
Fortouche.
That's right. It's the opera. Oh, hey, someone's coming in. Oh, thanks for coming. Oh, it's a return customer. See what we did, Art?
200 people here now.
Yeah. Jordan, this is your second time on the show. Your first time was a television appearance that's still yet to air.
Will it ever air?
We'll see.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's it. Thank you.
And then at the end, we have the inventor of smoothies, Jesse, Jive Talkin' Jones.
Oh, I got a nickname.
Yep. Named after your voice.
I believe this is his 311th appearance.
Yes,
311. 311, great band. Bad time of day. Are you guys ready to play Stab?
Sure.
This segment is called This Happened Once. Some things that happened once and had you write some things about it. We're going to start with Ben Rice. On this date, 1968, American actor and producer Brendan Fraser was born. On that very same day and year, American singer, songwriter, and producer Montel Jordan was also born. What did you do with today in regards to those events?
This is how I did it. It's Wednesday day, and I feel a lot like Montel Jordan only talked about what to do on Fridays, so I wasn't really sure what to do today. Maybe in a few years, I can check back on his birthday. It'll be on a Friday, and I can totally handle it, but not today.
Okay.
But how I celebrated Brendan Fraser's birthday was pretty rad, because my mom actually used to work with Brendan Fraser's mom. At a funeral home in Seattle, right as Brendan was starting his career. So I definitely watched Encino Man and Blast from the Past and School Ties, which, if you haven't seen it, do. Change that, because it features the greatest final line in cinematic history. Brendan Fraser's character, whose name I do not recall because it's such a great movie, says, "And you'll still be a prick." Fucking nailed it, that guy. Oh, and who'd he say that to? Young Matt Damon! playing an anti-Semitic asshole who had just told him, in a few years, nobody will remember this, but you'll still be a Jew.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. But also, this day reminded me of all the other random connections I have to celebrities. Before my mom worked with Brendan Fraser's mom, I once sat on a plane next to pitcher Kevin Brown, who just 8 years later would become the highest paid baseball player in history. What? And if I can sum up that encounter with something I've already said, he's still a prick. What an asshole. I was 8, and I recognized a guy with a 4.50 ERA, and he demanded to change seats so he wouldn't have to talk to me. And that's not my only baseball player connection. My grandmother once worked with 1993 American League batting champion John Olerud's dad, John Olerud, at a hospital in Seattle. If you don't remember John Olerud, he's the guy who wore a batting helmet when playing first base. And he hit, and he led all American League batters in 1993 with a .363 batting average. But most importantly, I once dated a girl whose sister was a porn star. She's actually one you may have heard of. She was once nominated for the AVN Best Newcomer Award. And it was great because when we broke up, I totally revenge masturbated to my ex's sister like all the time.
Is it Sasha Gray?
No.
Okay.
But I do know a guy who dated her. Also.
She's from here, yeah.
Yeah, I know a guy who dated her who was also from here, really? Who was in porn as well.
Who also lives in Seattle.
No. Probably the best breakup revenge ever is saying you've seen your ex's sister take a cock in the ass while blowing a dude.
Oh, wow.
That was all true.
All right,
not
great.
Not a lie in there.
Thank you, Ben Rice. Let's move on to Jordan Gannon. Which, ironically, you're also the heir to the fortune of the Dannon yogurt.
Good marriages.
Fortune.
Good marriages.
Yeah.
In my family.
Like to rub elbows with billionaires. Jordan Gannon, on this day, 1947, we celebrate the birthday of Manson family's own Patricia Krenwinkel. She is the American murderer that holds the record for the longest incarcerated female in California. Also on this very date, 1955, Cow Davenport, American singer and pianist, died. How'd you choose to celebrate these occasions?
Like any other day, John, like any other day.
All right.
Let me explain.
Thank
me and
you.
Me and the boys, by which I mean myself, Mike Sella, John Gamora, and Jamie Fernandez hung out together all day. Hmm. We ended the day by watching The Valley of the Dolls with Roman Polanski.
Okay.
At Mike's house, which is immune to extradition laws. And, well, Jamie and John thought they'd throw a theme party. So, they're like, I was kind of against it, but they're like, he's cool. He's a statutory rapist. He'll be cool with it. And
wait,
so
who are we talking about?
Roman Polanski. Okay. Yeah, so.
You mentioned Mike Sella.
So they
served Mike Sella.
No, you know, just clarify. So they served Folgers coffee, played Helter Skelter by the Beatles, wore war T-shirts, tried to get everyone to open up about the worst day that they'd ever had. I tried to play some Cow Davenport, but I think, you know, they could just read through my obviously pretentious. I would say, listen to that, man. That's one of the first audio recordings of the boogie-woogie blues style, predating Ray Charles by years, man. That's the first. So they could read right through me, just like trying to impress them. It was painful. John was finally able to get Roman to open up about the fateful day that his wife, Sharon Tate, was murdered by Patricia Krenwinkel. But Mike Sella interrupted and just criticized Roman Polanski for his directing of Chinatown. And criticized Jamie for liking the movie The Pianist.
Hmm.
So, saying, quote, and I quote, "Get off his dick already. It was maybe a bearable movie made by a rapist." So it was just another ennui-filled day like any other.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, that's
great job.
That's what happened.
Jesse Jones. Uh-huh. How you doing?
Oh, I'm all right.
That's good. In 1992, a test engineer from SEMA Group used a personal computer to send the world's first text message via Vodafone network to the phone of a colleague. Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
After I read it, I did.
Also, on this day, 1942, American chemist, ecologist, and educator Ellen Swallow Richards. How about that? What did you do to honor the aforementioned?
Well, in celebration of this momentous occasion, I'd actually like to share a text conversation I had just last night.
All right, thank you. That's great.
December 3rd, 2014. Received from John Ross, 2:08 a.m. Hey, bubble cunt.
Sorry, autocorrect, sorry.
Sent to 11 a.m. What the fuck? Received from John Ross to 12 a.m. You know Ellen Swallow Richards? Sent at 2:12 a.m. Yeah, I got the prompt. It's fucking 2 in the morning. Are you drunk? Received from John Ross, 2:15 a.m. You are! Sent 2:16 a.m. Trying to sleep. I have to write all my stab shit in the morning or probably afternoon because I'm an idiot. Received from John Ross, 2:18 a.m. No, shut up. Ellen Swallow Richards. Sent 2:19 a.m. Don't. Received from John Ross, 2:19 a.m. Ellen sucks dicks, get it? Sent at 2:21 a.m. I hate you. Received from John Ross, 2:22 a.m. But don't! Received from John Ross, 2:36 a.m. Don't hate me! Received from John Ross, 2:51 a.m. I'm sorry! 2:52 a.m. I'm sorry! 2:52 a.m. again. I'm sorry! Received from John Ross, 3:04 a.m. Richard, sorry. Image attachment size 378K. Sent 3:12 a.m. God damn you, John Ross. Received from John Ross, 3:13 a.m. He wasn't really sorry. See how he's winking?
That was This Happened Once. This is Stab. This next segment is a new segment called Top Five. It's somewhat topical. Top Five. Gentlemen, give us the top five Bill Cosby Google searches. Top five Bill Cosby Google searches. We'll do one at a time.
Mm-hmm, okay.
And rotate through. Topical haiku challenge style.
Okay.
There you go.
This is Ben Rice talking. Number one, post-sex smoking. When is it not okay?
All right.
Charles Krauthammer, rapist?
What is Jell-O's parent company? Theo!
Right.
Incest rape fantasy, ghost dad.
Oh, boy. I'm sorry. Thanks for coming. Thanks for being here. We more showed up on you than you did to us. All right.
Slightly funky, but mostly smooth jazz, just the two of us cover by me.
Did he do a version of that? Really? Gotta look that up.
What is Kraft's stock exchange symbol? Rudy!
All right. Ben Rice.
What do you do when your whole life crumbles down around you in the midst of a massive media storm, ruining all the good you ever did in the world?
So.
Shadow of Death quote Bible.
E-Trade help. How to Sell Stocks, Camille.
All right, this is actually a Google exchange where he figures out the answer and keeps goes digging deeper. The next two. Is it a good idea to tell a joke about drugging women and taking advantage of them in 1969, then live out that joke from 1973 to present? Follow-up question upon receiving no answer. Why the hell didn't we have Google in 1969? Follow-up question. Wait, why do we have Google now? You're ruining my life.
Is that we're in the fourth
yes.
dimension of this?
We're on the fourth.
Okay.
Jimmy Carter, serial rapist?
I don't get any of this. I'm going to have to go Google all this.
Search number four, Robin Williams' cause of death?
Oh, yeah. I think that's going to happen to Bill Cosby. I really do. All right, bring us home with the final.
All right, this is another sequential search. Hanwell Burris, home address? Murder for hire. Time machine.
Thurgood Marshall, serial rapist, exonerated by history.
And Robin Williams' cause of death plus tutorial.
Top five. Five. That was the top five of five. It was the top five at 8:27. That was top five. This is still Stab. This next segment is called Topical Haiku Challenge. What we do, we take another thing from the news, and everyone should have written three haiku in regards to this news story.
Okay.
The news story is, Shia LaBeouf claimed he got raped. That was in the news. He claimed he was raped. Ben writes.
This first haiku is entitled More Than Meets the Eye. Sure. Rape is no laughing matter, but come on, guys, it's Shia LaBeouf, so...
I couldn't sit through Kingdom of the Crystal Skull even for art's sake.
I guess keeping in his filmography, this one is titled Like an Old Man in a Refrigerator. Just try to forget, like we all do with the fourth Indiana Jones.
All right, this one is titled Project Greenlight Means Go. Battle of Shaky Thighs, the film where he proved he's into Cosby Play.
Oh. Cosby Play.
This one's called Even Stevens. I spent years sorting through the betrayal of trust caused by Transformers.
Not big fans of the movies of Shia's.
I'm saving my Transformers one for last.
Okay, good.
My second entitled, Who Did What Now? It's unfortunate. You're not famous anymore. Otherwise, I'd care.
Aww. That's just mean. You're a mean man. All right, sorry. All right, bring us home with a third.
Another Transformers reference is the title of this one.
Just became the title of this one.
Sam Witwicky gets sticky wicket in his ass. Mm. No one really cares.
Mm.
This one is called Future's Looking Up. When the tears have dried... NPR will book him on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Nice job.
Finally, show me on the Autobot where she touched you. Well, now you know how your damn Transformers movies made our childhoods feel.
That was Topical Haiku Challenge.
That's what I was looking for.
Thank you. That was Topical Haiku Challenge. This is, once again, the show called Stab. This next segment is called Movie Makeup. Here are some movie titles we made up. Please give a synopsis based off the provided titles. We're going to start with Jordan Gannon in the middle.
That's fair.
Yeah. Jordan, the name of the movie you were given was Champagne Grenade. Let's hear the synopsis. Your body language tells me this was not your favorite thing to do, but go.
I didn't really do it.
Okay.
No, a lowly and inept hitman with a heart of gold is assigned a job by the mob to kidnap a mentally retarded brother of a California district attorney. Jiggly abducts the brother from his mental hospital and holds him hostage in his apartment. Ricky, a lesbian assassin played by Chaz Bono, is sent to oversee Jiggly. It's a remake of Jiggly is what I'm doing.
Okay. Yeah,
that's all it is.
Okay.
Champagne Grenade. It's with Chaz Bono and Shia LaBeouf. Why not? I don't know. Just keep it. Just put it in there.
All right.
Or just take it out.
That'll go in there.
Or put it back in.
Take
it out.
Let's do it over and over. Let's play the hokey pokey with that.
Let's keep on doing it.
Let's move it all about. Hey, Jesse Jones, do you want to seamlessly transition to the next? Hey, Jordan, thank you. Jesse Jones, the name of the movie title you were given is The Real Hardy Boys.
Yes. Not how you think it's going to go. Just know that. Not how I thought it was going to go. Here we go. 6-year-old Mai Nguyen and 8-year-old Quan Pham live their lives partially submerged in a creamy protein fluid developed by scientists at Pfizer Chemical, funded by a grant from the United States government. 4-year-old Bao Tran and 4-year-olds, both Bao Tran and Tian Lu, blink twice a day as their thoughts are transmitted directly into next-generation neural interfaces designed by an off-the-books applied sciences department at Dell Computers, also paid for by American tax dollars. Why is the American government keeping farms of Vietnamese orphans just like these hidden 40 stories below the Washington Monument? That's just the question that documentarian and drug enthusiast Charlie Sheen sought to find an answer to over a 4-day weekend, which he recalls as, "I don't remember any of it." Over the course of this hard-hitting, often disturbing, 37-minute CD-ROM point-and-click adventure documentary, Charlie uncovers the truth to one of the biggest lies that almost no one's ever even imagined to be a thing. And it all comes down to the true reason for the war in Vietnam. The truth that until now only Scott Stapp knew is that American intelligence agencies invaded Vietnam to steal their their precognitive children. After finding the whiskey bottle-shaped key hidden behind the smallest nude portrait of Sheen in the study of his in-game mansion and unlocking the bluest door, Sheen explains how it's a universally accepted fact that Vietnamese babies can sense future events, if not predict them outright, and ask why the jobs of American police detectives have been relinquished to a pool of Vietnamese orphans, quietly purchased by the Central Intelligence Agency and forced into the service of the National Guard's top-secret child detective sweatshops. The Real Hardy Boys, available for Windows 95. AOL keyword, Real Hardy.
Thank you, Jesse Jones. I did save... I'm letting Ben Rice bring us home on this one. The name of the movie Ben Rice was given is called Too Much Pussy, the Ben Rice Story.
Thank you, John. Thank you. I wrote two for this one. The first one is a film student short film. It opens on a extreme close-up of a patch of hair with the wavy 60s psychedelic font saying, Too Much Pussy. Light changes colors throughout, and it's an extreme close-up of this patch of hair. You can see dandruff in there, some pubic lice.
Okay.
And then as the noise soundtrack I created on a Coke binge during finals week gets louder and louder, the camera slowly pulls back, painstakingly slow. It's just more hair. It keeps pulling back. It's just more hair. It's pulling back. It's pulling back. It's more hair. It's more hair. You're like, oh my God, I should see some labia at some point in time. Where is the labia? How up close was this shot to begin with? How small are these pubic hairs? And then it keeps pulling back. It keeps pulling back. You're like, there's got to be something underneath this hair. This is the furriest, furriest vagina I've ever seen. And it pulls back. And it pulls back. And in 8.5 minutes, it pulls completely back to reveal just my face. Just my face.
That's your face.
All right. And then the other one is... a biopic. Ben Rice, struggling stand-up comedian. Not funny. Born and raised by a woman with his six sisters and his stepdad, who later got a sex change and became a woman. Ben then tried to use all of these womanly ways that he learned by dealing with nothing but women for his entire life to figure out what women really want, much like Mel Gibson in the film What Women Want. He does not succeed. Mm. But he does grow a massive beard so that he doesn't like seem too effeminate because he totes is. After giving up on relationships after 17 failed ones, he resides in an apartment alone with his cat.
Thank you very much, Ben. That was Movie Makeup. This used to be a show called Fire. Now it's called Stab. This next segment is called Reorganization. Reorganization. Take this existing acronym and reimagine it. What does it now stand for and who does it now represent? The acronym everyone was given, DMX. DMX. Famed rapper. DMX. Ben Rice. What does DMX now stand for?
Right. DMX was the name of a famous 90s rapper. Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
It was short for Dark Man X. X, of course, representing the unknown. But he became so famous, everyone knew his real name, Earl Simmons. He did enough to ruin the mystery behind X that Malcolm X rolled over in his grave. DMX could actually stand for Dead Malcolm X.
Oh, man.
But it doesn't. Instead, it stands for Dead Men Exonerated, an organization that helps combat wrongful convictions. The E is silent, just like the mainstream media, white America, the power structure that's been keeping the black man down, and anyone and everyone who has the power and influence to make a difference when it comes to the victimization of minorities. For too long, black men have been beaten, imprisoned, and killed with minimal, if any, evidence on flimsy premises. And this incarceration takes far longer than the crime deserves, even for crimes they didn't even commit.
I don't feel good about this. This part.
This one goes out to Michael Brown, to the Central Park Five, to Red from Shawshank Redemption. We shall overcome!
I can't even look at you right now. You just... You know when you go back and listen to your own work?
Nope.
You know, like, I do that with all the podcasts. I feel like I'm going to skip over the part.
Over that one. A lot of yelling.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I appreciate it.
I got lost in it pretty. I'm like, don't yell too much. I got super caught up.
That's right.
So much outrage, you can't not yell about it.
Yeah, that's correct. That's true. Thank you. Jordan Gannon, the founding member of Bananarama. What does DMX stand for now?
Well, we're a proud separate organization. We're the Dulciloquent Mammonist Xenomancers of Folsom. and now in Elk Grove. For just to clarify, we specialize in divining economic matters, financial, fiduciary matters, using xenomancy, really the divination using foreigners or strangers, if you will, really the bodies of illegal aliens as they're strewn about the desert landscape and death on their sorrowful, doleful crossing to a new land of hope and opportunity.
Yeah. Page 2.
We do believe that such divining ought to be dulciloquent.
Of course.
That is, sweetly worded. You know, not just to say such things that foreigners gonna take our jobs. Really, add the miserere nobis. Have mercy on us. Foreigners, don't take our jobs.
Right. Yep.
But I'll just leave it there, you know, that we leave the dulciloquent rhapsody to our meetings.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
To our gatherings.
You can't for your. All right. Thank you, Jordan. Gannon. Jesse Jones, do your best. DMX, what does it stand for now?
DMX is actually an answer on a Roman math test. That was only given half credit. It was an answer given to question VI on the arithmetic test of little III grader Cassius Tiberius. The problem read, what is MMDCXLVIII minus MCCCXXXV minus DCCCIII? And while Cassius's answer of DMX is technically correct, the...
I'm just getting it. Sorry.
The answer that Mr. Octavianus was looking for was the most reduced form of the number, or simply DX.
Mm. Thank you for that. That was fantastic. This brings us to our final segment of the first half of our show, Stab, so no one please leave in between the other one. This final segment is called Dating Profiles of the Fictional and or Non-Fictional. Everyone, please have written dating profiles for the characters I gave you. Ben Rice, you were given 2014's worst state to live in, Tennessee, writing a dating profile for Tennessee. Jordan Gannon, you were given the gravy from Thanksgiving. And I'm not going to tell you what it gave Jesse until the end to build the hook.
Ah.
Mm. The cliffhanger. Ben Rice.
All right. Welcome to my page, y'all. I'm Tennessee. Let me tell y'all a little bit about little old me. I want to point out right now that y'all has the apostrophe in different places.
Okay.
I'm 218 years old, young. The 16th oldest of 50, 52 if you count my adopted siblings, Puerto Rico and American Samoa, but I don't. They're barely even people, if you ask me. I'm a born again Christian. Who is also a born again racist. I don't know why I ever left, honestly. You may remember me from your junior high history books. Does the Tennessee Valley Authority ring any bells? You might remember not understanding why it was important, and it was a colossal waste of time, money, and natural resources. It probably was. I can't be sure. After all, I'm Tennessee, where the education system is as big a joke as the idea of equal protection for all races, creeds, colors, and genders under the law. LOL. I enjoy disenfranchising minorities.
Of course.
Chugging that good old homebrew Tennessee whiskey. Jack Daniels, bitch. And putting all the worst parts of Chicago, New York, St. Louis, and North Korea in a serene country setting. If you are interested, please be sure that you're of discriminating taste. Can handle my wide open spacings. Love you some Elvis, hun. And also be sure that we are no more than two steps removed by blood. Talk to y'all later, y'all.
Thank you, Ben Rice. Ben Rice, what is your Twitter? And I'm serious.
It's at Comedian Ben Rice.
At Comedian Ben Rice. Thank you very much. Ben Rice, thank you for being here.
And, thank you, John. Thank you for having me. I'm sorry for yelling.
No, it's fine. I love that the last two times you've been on the show, you started with singing. So yeah.
I appreciate you giving me those.
You're welcome.
Gimmies.
I know your range. Yeah. I don't know if Ben Rice, also the founder of the Jersey Boys franchise. Jordan Gannon, do your darndest. Please have written a dating profile from this year's gravy from Thanksgiving.
I'm the gravy from Thanksgiving. Age, don't ask. Build, juicy. Look, about me. I can give you everything you need. I'm tired of being kept as a side bitch or a booty call. Ready to be your main entree. Tired of the dating bullshit. Look. Just look at the pics in my profile, then come back and look. Don't waste my time. I'm turkey fat and chicken stock, I know. I'm butter and onions and so much more. In the past, I've generally taken the shape of whatever I'm in. But I'm looking to spend a lot more time on my boat.
Jordan Gannon. I'm not sure he was done there, but he's leaving on the high note. Yeah, very wise. That was wise. Very good. Very nice. Nice intuition.
Yeah.
Jesse Jones, please have written a profile from Shia LaBeouf's alleged rapist. Uh-huh. That's right. Welcome to Stab, where context is more important
yes.
than anything.
Yeah, again, maybe not necessarily where you think this is going, because I changed it at the very last minute. This is a profile from mycreativemate.com. All of these are real sites that I always look at.
Right, yeah.
And that's important when we get to the end here, actually. Profile of not Shia LaBeouf, 34. Main info, I am a woman, age 28, star sign Gemini, seeking a man, age 27 to 29. About me, I'm not Shia LaBeouf. But, you know, if I was a man and not a woman like I am, then I'd like to be Shia LaBeouf, even though I'm not now. About my match. It would probably be emotionless performance arting Shia LaBeouf. Yeah, you know, if he were to do something without trying to get any sort of attention because, you know, he's not famous anymore, or so the bag on his head says, LOL. But he'll always be famous to me. But yeah, my perfect match would be alone in a room with a Shia LaBeouf rendered motionless for his art. Looking for casual relationships, interests, arts, museums, crafts, dancing, performance art, traveling, vans and trucks, vegetarianism, and water sports. Characteristics, build curvy, drinking, light, social drinker, education, vocational training. Eye color depends on my mood. Religion, Druze. I don't even know what that is, but it was an option on there.
Yeah.
And this is an actual section from the site's profile with a selection of actual answers that you can check off. And it's the only time I've ever seen something like this, let alone this comprehensive. But I guess it makes perfect sense for a site like mycreativemate.com. Health conditions. Anxiety. Bipolar disorder. These are all things that you can select to voluntarily disclose to your creative mate. Crohn's disease. Depression. Devotee. I'm not even sure. Is that like stalker?
Devotee.
Eating disorder. Epilepsy. Obsessive compulsive disorder. Other STDs. There wasn't a tree from that like branched off into specific other selections. It's just other. It's the catch-all.
Randoms.
Polio. You can let people know you've got polio if you're dating in the 20s. Yeah. Sight problems, spina bifida, stroke survivor. Traumatic brain injury, and, of course, positive about disabled.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you be?
That's all.
That's it. Ladies and gentlemen, one more time for Ben Rice, Jordan Gannon, Jesse Jones, Stab. Well, this episode of Stab is over. Buy a drink or a nacho plate.